morning, everybody. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Patty Vasquez. That was kind of a bluesy way to start the show. There we go. That was crazy. Could everybody else hear that the music was still going on?
Oh, yeah, the music was still going, okay, but you're fine. We got it.
All right. Sorry, we had a little technical difficulty there. That was just a moment. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Patty Vasquez. I'll be with you guys until 2 a.m. when Nick DiGilio will be taking over. Hold on. Let me check. No, it's Matt Bubala tonight.
I was going to say Bubala's coming in, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's why I had to check.
We don't have the schedules down here. Things just kind of go fly.
It's loose.
Yeah.
It's very, very loose. So if you are just joining us, or if you joined us a few minutes ago, you might be following the news and be interested in what is happening. The federal government has, in fact, shut down. We have passed the midnight Eastern deadline, but they are still... I wouldn't call it a fervor of activity, but there are people huddling and actively speaking as if they don't think it's midnight. So I don't know. Maybe we'll get this fixed in the next 5-10 minutes. But nobody's really moving. They're just kind of standing around trying to figure out who's hosting.
What they're doing.
are you having us over for the playoffs, or are we going to your house, or
yeah, what's going on?
Are you bringing chili? Is it a potluck?
Do you want to watch the Patriots, or do you want to watch the other game?
Can we just
cater
it? How's Brady's hand? I think that's what they're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Lots of things going on in the news today and things we want to talk about. There is a possible cougar sighting in DuPage County. That's not like vernacular.
No,
that's
no. Legit, you know what, what's cougar. Funny? Some lady in my neighborhood, I live in McHenry County.
Okay.
Some lady in my neighborhood claims she saw a cougar. In like my neighborhood,
it's a thing. They do have the ability to live here.
That's insane. And to think, you know,
well, McHenry's got a lot of forest preserve area.
Yeah, it's a pretty wooded area. But it's even more so kind of weird because at least out by where I live, there's a lot of coyotes.
Sure.
And you know, they say that coyotes, they track your like patterns. So when like you take your small dogs out. If you take them out like 3 times a day at like, you know, 8 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, and then 7 at night or whatever, they keep track of that. And then that makes them kind of gang up and will go after your small pets if you take them out. Yeah. It's really weird how like so smart those animals are, but it's really freaky at the same time.
Little bit. It also makes me happier that I don't take my dog out on a regular schedule. But we have had coyotes, seen running down our street. I'm in King County. So, and all the neighbors are like, there were 3 of them. They were right down the middle of the street. Like, just be careful. Cause I have a small dog.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I'm always very aware of things like put a lot of lights on cause they don't want to be seen, you know, the lights, they're like vampires.
Yeah.
But yeah, possible cougar sighting in DuPage County.
That's still weird.
I know. I remember a few years ago in the Glen Ellen, like Wheaton area, there was a panther sighting, and I was like, really?
Well, wasn't there a coyote here in the city like a few years ago? Didn't it like sit in like a Jimmy John's cooler or something like that?
Jimmy John's or 7-Eleven or something. So, I mean, this happens. We invaded their land first. So, technically, if we get like a rogue one coming back, okay. Usually, though, when they're out in the middle of the day, running into stores.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they're last minute shopping, but typically they're not feeling so
well.
Good.
I remember it was hot that summer and it just like sat in there to like cool off. Yeah.
Yeah. But why it was awake in the middle of the day was a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know.
We are taking your calls. 312-981-7200. Also, that is the same text line. So please feel free to be a part of the conversation as well. So many things coming up. I have a hard and fast rule about content when I am hosting on this radio station, and I'm about to break it. I have never discussed the family member that we are going to discuss on the air. But we're going to later because the Kardashians have a new baby, Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. they have their third child. It was just delivered by surrogate last week, I guess.
Yeah, or a week and a half ago, something like that.
And they gave it an interesting moniker. So we're going to talk about that coming up right after we take a break. But first, we have a caller. Let us go to Tim. Tim, you're on WGN.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, how are
Thanks
you?
Thanks for entertaining me at night.
Sure.
I'm a police officer, and the highlight of my career for like 3 months one time in the summer was actually, oh, wait a minute, it was the winter. No, it was actually hunt cougar from a helicopter in a small town, small suburban town from Chicago.
You got to hunt cougar from a helicopter?
Got to hunt cougar from a helicopter because we'd had numerous sightings. I actually went out there and tracked the beast myself. And some of our police officers actually saw it, too. The way these things get out there is they're not left out there from the wild. What happens is there's still an illegal trade in exotic animals.
Mm.
And this one was bought by, for lack of a better word, one of our kingpin drug dealers in town. He actually brought him to the station to show us. And about a year later, it went, he never told us that he let it go, but we think he let it go. But they're actually out there, and most of the time they end up people put in order for them. They'll get four or five cubs, and then people will buy them, you know, black market, and then they get bored with them, and sometimes they just absolutely let them go.
All right. So when you're hunting for them, is the animal, because it's been essentially not necessarily domesticated because they're still a wild animal, but are they a danger to the public? Are they going to attack? Or is, I mean, because
yeah,
coyotes.
That, you know what? One of the problems with that is you can't err on the side of caution because let's say it was a domesticated animal.
Sure.
Or word out there was a domesticated animal and you didn't take action when you had the opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're gonna end up getting sued. That's the way our society is now. It's a litigation society.
Yes.
Believe me, I'm an animal lover, and I would really, you know, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say something stupid, like I'd rather. But I'm not going to say that.
No, we know what you're talking about, though, because they're gorgeous, beautiful animals. So it would be a shame to have to put one down, but maybe tranquilize it and then work with zoos or something to get it.
Or relocate it?
That's another one of the problems. See, because we're not Africa out here, we really didn't have anybody who could do that.
Right.
Who could do that big of an... We had a place called Critter Crossing in town, which was actually a zoo, but the biggest thing he'd ever tranquilize was maybe coyotes.
Right.
Things like that. Yeah. And, but luckily, you know, I really never saw it, so I didn't have to take those steps. And I do believe, now, if you remember back, I don't know, was it 5 years ago? I'm getting old, so time to me is different than everybody else's. But was it 5 years ago or 10 years ago where Chicago actually had to shoot a cougar?
I don't remember the cougar. We were talking about the coyote that got loose in the city or was wandering around the city.
There was a cougar. There was a cougar that Chicago that ended up shooting probably 5 to 10. You know, with my age, it could be 15 years ago. But we believe
I would remember that either. I mean, I would remember it even if it was 15. But it's not something that I remember happening. It could have been out of town when it happened.
Yeah, it did happen in Chicago. And the thing, we think it was our cougar because they do have a 60 mile an hour. I think they can run six. No, they have a 60 mile area
range
in which they can roam.
Wow. I was going to say 60 mile an hour. They weren't on the Eisenhower during rush hour. That's for sure.
Someone passed me up one night. I was really tired that night. I was, you know, was that a cheetah?
I don't know. Tim, anyway. Thank you. Thank you for your service. My brother's on the job. I appreciate all of you first responders.
Like I said, thank you for the shows you guys do.
Oh, I appreciate.
Really appreciate it, especially the old time.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And I will pass that along to the powers that be. But you have a great night.
My son's a cop also. He's probably listening. Let me say, hey, Matt, stay safe out there and watch the hands.
That's right, Matt. Stay safe. And my brother, Walker.
All right.
Thanks so much, Tim. You have a great night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sure. Hannah Stanley filling in for Patty Vasquez tonight. This is WGN. I'll be right back after this.
Blackhawks.
right. Hannah Stanley here filling in for Patty Vasquez. I wanted you guys to enjoy the interlude as I made sure I had everything organized and ready for you guys. I'll be ready. I'll be with you until 2 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the number you can call and join in the conversation. I have Curtis Koch with me producing tonight. And then we also are taking your texts at 312-981-7200. If you think, wait, Hannah, clearly that's not right. You gave out the same number. That's because it is. It's the same number, 312-981-7200, calls and texts. Just depends on how you want to interact with us. Speaking of interacting with us, I never interact with anybody with the name Kardashian.
I've never been like, okay, so I don't hate them. I've just never been a big fan of them.
I try to have very little knowledge of them, but I was on the way down here to work tonight talking with my sister who's in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and asked her, I kind of like previewed the segment with her
mm-hmm.
to see what her involvement was, and she didn't know what I'm about to talk to everybody about.
Oh.
She didn't know what the name was. So she said, well, I said, yeah, there's a rumor that her sister was the surrogate. So we're talking about Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
And Kanye West, who are married.
Mm-hmm.
They have now three children.
Mm-hmm.
The first child, a little girl, North.
Mm-hmm.
Northwest is her name. I love the name North. I do. I think Northwest is a little goofy because it's on maps,
yeah.
You know, whatever. But like that movie North, which actually the line, I've seen her name on maps. That's the movie North is great. And it made me love that name.
Yeah.
North. So they call her Nori. Another fact that I'm a little embarrassed that I realize that I know. So I'm talking to my sister and I said, yeah, the rumor is that her sister was the surrogate. And she was like, so then my sister starts naming all of the sisters.
Yeah.
She was like, well, was that Khloe? And I'm like, no, it's one of the Jenners.
Although she is pregnant, though. Khloe is pregnant.
So this is the conversation I'm having with my sister. I'm like, no. I'm like, which one is Khloe? Is she the tall one who got hot? Or is she? And I'm like, no, wait. Courtney was the one who was married or semi-married or with that guy Scott. And then I was like, I'm a little embarrassed that I know all of this stuff. I have maybe watched one episode, maybe, of their show.
Never ever. Seen their show.
You're
like the entirety.
So I'm proud of you. So anyway, their son, Kim and Kanye,
mm-hmm.
Their son is named Saint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whatever. I mean, that's heavy.
Yeah.
That's a big expectation. Now, I worked for Danny Bonaducci many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Bonaducci from Partridge Family fame. And then later, like wrestling and Getting in Trouble fame. He named his daughter Duchess Isabella Bonaducci.
Oh, okay.
Isabella was what she went by, or Izzy, when she was tiny, which is when I knew her. But he always thought it would look cool on our Amex to have it say Duchess Isabella Bonaducci. Okay, so I don't know. Maybe Saint has a middle name that they use. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Saint West.
I keep, the more I thought about it, and I had a discussion about this with my mom at home, I don't think the names of the kids are really going to matter because of who they're associated with, like who their family is a part of. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like with their names being, you know, Saint and North and now their third kid, I don't feel like, I mean, normally if it was just like another family, I feel like
my son Saint.
Yeah.
Saint Stanley.
Or your daughter North. Then
right.
Maybe, I hate to say it kind of like this way, but I feel like those kids would maybe be a little bit targeted. You know,
well,
especially
okay,
with the way bullying is now.
My daughter's name is Preston,
mm-hmm.
which is classically a boy's name.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I don't care. I like Preston. Mm-hmm. And it's so not super common as a boy's name that a lot of people, she's the only Preston they know. So
yeah.
It doesn't occur to them that it's a boy's name.
Mm-hmm.
The West family or the Kardashian Wests, I don't know, maybe they hyphenate. Have named their third baby, born by a surrogate, of possibly one of the Jenner girls.
I was going to say it was possibly Kylie.
Okay, that's who I thought
it was,
but I wasn't sure.
I see that pop up on Twitter.
Because Kendall's the model.
Yeah.
So
well, they're both
it wasn't
technically
her.
Model.
Oh, see, I don't. Okay. They named the baby Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I think it's amazing. He's from here. And this is another thing that they did that I appreciated and valued for using their celebrity. Back when she was pregnant with their first child, who was North, they asked in lieu of gifts, because people apparently send famous people gifts as if they can't buy their own stuff.
Well, that's what happened with Chris Bryant. When he got married, the Cubs third baseman, right after like the World Series, Cubs
people
fans
sent them gifts.
Oh, they found their wedding registry, and Cubs fans were buying them gifts. My friend Sean is one of them.
Oh my goodness!
He bought them a gift, and then he actually got a handwritten card from Chris Bryant's wife thanking him. Yeah, Mrs. Bryant.
Yeah,
Jessica Bryant.
Okay,
thanking him for the gift,
well,
which was pretty cool.
That's very lovely. But what they did, Kim and Kanye, is they said in lieu of gifts, please make a donation to Lurie Children's in Chicago, an amazing children's hospital. Kanye grew up here and obviously realizes the type of care that they provide. And I really appreciated the fact that they used their celebrity in that way, especially people who seem to be incredibly personally focused as Kim and Kanye. So they asked for donations to be made in their names to Lurie Children.
That is also great.
It's great. So so that made me go, okay, they're actually like semi-decent humans.
Mm-hmm.
There's something in them that's good. I think Kanye is very talented. I think he's a little cray-cray. We'll bet. But I also think to get to that level of achievement, there you need to think a little bit differently than like me.
Yeah, See, for me, I've never been a fan. I mean, I like some of Kanye's music.
Mm-hmm.
He's talented. He's very talented.
Yeah,
I've never
it's
been
just
much
not your genre.
Yeah, I've never been much of a fan of. Now, by not much of a fan, I don't mean I don't hate them.
Right.
I mean that, you know, being on social media and everything, you kind of just see them all over the place.
Yeah.
And I mean, you see Snapchat stories about them. You see tweets about them.
They
you see
own
all,
media.
Yeah, they own all the media.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I just kind of get annoyed by just constantly seeing it. I just don't really care about when their news comes up.
I see what you're saying. And there's actually an app that someone designed that it blocks out
that
the
stuff.
Kardashians.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing. But I love Chicago. I think Chicago, and they're naming, it's a little girl, and her name is Chicago West.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they announced it. Kim Instagrammed or tweeted or something, Chicago West.
Yeah, and you were talking to Justin off air before you guys did Crosstalk about how it really shouldn't be that much of a big deal.
No, people use Brooklyn, Austin, yeah. Dallas. This is Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
These are names that are, my daughter's name Preston is a town in England.
Yeah.
The Stanley Cup, ironically also my last name, mm-hmm. Hannah Stanley, the Stanley Cup is from Preston, England.
Yeah.
So these, using names isn't so odd. So I'm wondering if this is going to become popular. I think Shy is a cute little name for a little girl.
Nickname, yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering, though, if the town of West Chicago is going to be West, Chicago now because they'll honor her. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think their middle name is Side, like West Side.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But
That'd be one interesting story, too, if they added that in.
312-981-7200. We're going to get you guys to the news and see what's going on with our federal government, because people are talking, even though it's 1230. I'm sorry, it's 1230 there. It's 1130 here, but that means Hannah Stanley here on WGN has to get you to the news with Rob Martier. Stanley tonight with you, filling in WGN in place of Patty Vasquez. I've said this before, but I love getting to come in and talk to you all. It's one of my greatest pleasures in my life, but it's such a bummer because the people I fill in most for are people I'm really close to. So it's like, oh, good, Patty, I get to fill in for Patty. And then I'm like, oh, I don't get to see Patty. That's a big bummer. But I am thrilled that she's entrusting me to get to entertain and chat with you this evening. 312-981-7200. Boy, the flu.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Ugh.
A big thing, actually.
So I get a phone call. Let me think about this. This was, I think, the 2nd of January. My dad, and I talked to my dad on January 1st, right? I'm like, hey, can we do such and such tomorrow? Nope. Very strange. Nope. I'm like, okay. Not normally man of little words, but fine. Something must be up. Not feeling good. Whatever. Calls me Tuesday night. I think it was a Tuesday. And he says, I didn't tell you this yesterday, but your mom was in the hospital. She's still there. I need to go. I said, you need to go see her? He goes, no, I need to go to the hospital. My mom was admitted, had gone to urgent care with flu. And they took her from urgent care to the hospital in an ambulance. And while they were on their way to CDH, which would have been the closest hospital, they were waved away because CDH had no beds, which is Central DuPage Hospital. She was not critical enough to be given a bed at CDH. They were that full.
Wow.
So that she was taken to another nearby hospital where she remained for 5 days.
With the flu?
Yes.
Ugh.
And then my dad was, I went and drove my dad to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was given an IV and was kept for several hours. And then they had no beds and he was sent home.
Wow.
Right. So this is a bad year and it's an early year.
Mm-hmm.
So some people who have thought, oh, I'll get that shot later. The time is nigh. You need, and I had it and my daughter had it. Now, what's interesting, though, is when I've been doing research on this, they're incorporating what I would refer to as stomach flu, which is, of course, intestinal and vomiting.
Yeah, it's like a much bigger thing now, isn't
yeah.
it? Just besides the stomach flu, it's more.
Right, because full-on influenza, which is what you get the shot for, because mm-hmm. stomach flu is gastroenteritis, I think is what it's called, technically. But
yeah.
we all, around here, we call it stomach flu. But they're incorporating that as flu this year because I believe it has some respiratory aspects to it. Influenza, though, is the respiratory. I've had influenza before. It is awful. And I've had it twice. Both years that I had gotten the shot. So sometimes they miss. This year, what they are estimating is that the shot is 34% effective, which is it's not a high as number as they would want. And what they do to formulate these shots is they take previous year's flu strains and they make a little cocktail out of it. And then they replicate it a whole bunch of times and they send that out and that's the flu shot. I did get the flu shot this year. So did my daughter. Neither one of us have gotten influenza, which is the respiratory illness. But both of us, my daughter and I, got stomach flu. And that was ugly. My son and my husband did not get it, though. So that was that was good. But there have been many, many, many people who've died because of the flu this year already.
Yeah, I was reading into that a little bit before we went on the air, just how much it's been infecting people, like not even just here in Chicagoland area,
yeah.
across the country. And it's been kind of actually spreading more now, not even just here in the U.S., but it's been getting in Canada, Mexico, across borders. And
yes.
It's just been spreading all over the place.
Yeah, on Friday, the CDC announced in 13 years of flu monitoring, which is the Center for Disease Control, which I think they're in Atlanta, but they're the government organization. As of January 6th, every part of the continental U.S. showed widespread flu activity.
Mm-hmm.
Four major Chicago hospitals were on bypass because they had no beds free. So if you were in an ambulance, like for trauma, you could still go there, but
yeah.
for just like going to the ER for flu-like symptoms, they didn't have room for you.
I wonder if that's ever happened in the past.
Sure, it definitely has.
I was going to say, because I don't recall, maybe it's just because I'm out in the suburbs too, that I don't recall ever having to, you know, be moved to a different hospital because of not enough room because the flu wasn't as high as a priority. Now, I get it, like, with trauma, like with heart attacks or
sure.
you know, stroke victims, that sort of thing. They prioritize that sort of thing. But I don't recall, at least in
like
my time.
All the beds being full.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is, and it's very, very early in the season for it to be this widespread, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Clearly not a medical professional. Me.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Neither am I.
But CNN is also reporting that as of January 13th, one of those states is no longer having it widespread. It's only widespread through 49 states. But the CDC has received reports of 30 pediatric deaths thus far. Here's the thing with influenza. The youngest and the oldest patients are most at risk. These are also the patients who aren't necessarily able to get those shots. Under 6 months of age, if the mother has gotten a flu shot while she was pregnant, that child is covered. So you don't give a flu shot to a baby under 6 months of age. They're dealing with their own stuff. And then sometimes the elderly aren't able to receive it because of complications with medication, or they're too at risk anyway. The flu shot, when you receive it, is dead. It's dead virus. So you're not actually fighting active flu.
Well, and I've heard also people say that they've gotten sick from getting the flu shot.
Here's what happens. Because everybody has said this before, including me. And I've talked to actually our guest that was supposed to join us and wasn't able to. She has explained this to me a couple of times. What happens is you get the flu shot while you're already fighting something.
Mm-hmm.
So your immune system is already on high alert or is actively working on something else. And then you get this other thing that they're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And so then you're fighting on two fronts and you get sick from the other thing.
Gotcha.
Additionally, the flu shot takes 14 full days to be effective. So you can get exposed on day 10, let's say, and get the flu. And you're like, son of a, I just got the flu shot. And that's why you got it, because your immune system was building, but it wasn't totally ready for it. Let's take a caller. Sue is on the line. And also, if you want to join, 312-981-7200. Sue, you're on WGN.
Hi. About 100 years ago, 1918.
Okay.
I know, this sounds funny. There was a pandemic of the flu.
Oh, my goodness.
Thousands of people. If you look it up, the reason that I had to do a paper on it for school, and my grandmother's sister died of it. People came home one day and died the next.
Really?
Thousands of people in the United States.
Okay, so this was obviously before yes, absolutely. You're right, it was. I thought you were dating yourself, and I was like,
no,
Sue, don't do that.
No.
Okay, so a flu pandemic wiped through the United States. This was obviously before inoculations, right?
Right.
So we would not have had, quote unquote, flu shots. If we had, they wouldn't have been as good as they are now. And definitely would have been ahead of when we all knew to be quite as conscientious with our, you know, hand washing and covering our mouths and things like that.
I remember, well, my grandmother telling me her sister came home from whatever work she did, went to bed and never got up.
That's horrible.
In one day. And it hit every family around because of, there was no sanitation or anything like that.
No, it would have been very, very different. You know, think about food preparation. We wouldn't have known any better than, you know, coughing on something. We wouldn't have known that's how it was being spread.
This is like, I was wondering if anybody's going to write about this. Is this a 100-year cycle thing?
You know, that's very interesting. I think what I've been hearing is that because the shot was not as accurate as they would have wanted it to be, and it's a little bit earlier in the season, so not everybody was as up to speed on their shot. What I was most surprised with, though, is that they were incorporating whatever gastroenteritis was going around in those numbers. But it was so severe. My parents were told there were four strains that were going around. One was like a 12-hour, one was like a 48-hour. And then, you know, my mom, like I said, had some complications, but she was in the hospital for 5 days. So it was very severe.
Healthcare facility.
Oh, do you?
Luckily, our floor, none of our people have the flu, but other floors, they do have, and we are just sending people out right and left. I hear there's a 10-hour waiting to get into the ER.
Oh, my goodness.
Things
and
like
what area are you in?
Suburbs.
Okay. Yeah, it was very surprising to me, and apparently that's why urgent care put her in an ambulance, because they said if we take you, you'll get helped right away. But my mom was so very dehydrated, they didn't even treat her at urgent care. She walked in and they were like, and we're leaving. your vitals are really bad. This is not good. It is very, very severe, and it hit very quickly. The stomach flu that I had, without being incredibly detailed, 6 pounds overnight. Mm-hmm. I lost 6 pounds in several hours. Not the way I wanted to lose 6 pounds, Sue.
No, not at all.
No. I'll take the weight loss any day of the week, but not that way.
Mm-hmm. Very good topic. Thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to continue. Sue, thank you so much for your call. And we'll continue talking about ways that we can prevent the flu, et cetera. 312-981-7200. But first, we're going to turn you over to this break. Hannah Stanley filling in on WGN. More after this. Stanley filling in tonight on WGN Radio. Patty Vasquez will be back with you guys next week. Never fear, Patty will be here. But I'm happy to be here with you guys for right now. I will tell you, I'm happy that I am no longer ill. I got sick on my son's birthday.
Oh, that sucks.
It did.
Where did you have like a big birthday party for him or something?
You know what happened? No, we typically take a vacation around this time of year, which is approaching. And so that's sort of what he and I do every year for our birthday is we all go on this trip. So we just do like a family thing. But he asked me, he's 10 now, he just turned 10, and he said, Mom, will you make me this cheesecake? I've asked you to make this cheesecake. And he has this cookbook from this hotel we stay at, and there's a cheesecake in it. I was like, of course I'll make you a cheesecake. I've never made a cheesecake, but like, come on. I used to host a food show. I'm good. So I make a cheesecake, and I'm just feeling a little off.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I think I'm hungry. Because you ever get to that point where you can't tell if you're going to get sick or you're hungry? The hunger makes you feel kind of like nauseous.
Exactly. And you're not sure if it's... Yeah,
right. And then it happened like 2 days earlier where I was like, I think I'm getting sick. And then I ate and I was like, no, I'm good. So I ate and I wasn't good. Not so good.
You know what's the worst part about getting sick is getting sick on vacation.
My son did that last year when we were on a trip.
That's happened to my sister and I between the two of us 3 times. And all three times were at Disney World.
Disney World is like the biggest area for kids to get sick. That's where my son was last year.
The thing that was on top of it was that it was spring break. So on top of going to Disney World during spring break, both my sister and I, not at the same time. She got sick one time. I got sick the next time. Then she got sick again on a different trip when the 3 different years that we went.
There's so many germs at Disney.
Oh, gosh.
And they do a great job. But
they
just can't avoid a kid coughing because there's 8,000
But
children.
Spring break is like that peak time.
Yes.
So when everybody plans, you know, their trips, you know, like 8, 9 months out, whatever it is. And then they come down and, you know, and you have to wait in line and you're hearing people cough. And, you know. Definitely was not a great time to get sick on a vacation.
We're talking, and that's Curtis Koch, who's producing me tonight, Hannah Stanley. We're talking about influenza. I had stomach flu. My daughter had stomach flu. My daughter is not, she doesn't get sick for long, right? She usually kind of she actively is sick for like 2 bouts and then she's done. Like they feel great. And my son's similar. I was not so lucky. I went upstairs and it was clearly obvious that I was ill. The cheesecake got thrown away.
Because
I was sick when I was making it.
Yeah.
Clearly I'm shedding germs. You know, I probably had touched it or I hadn't really coughed around it, but you just don't, like, you can't trust it.
Did you get like a jewel cake instead or something like that?
No, the poor kid hasn't had a birthday cake yet.
Oh, no.
So then he says to me, Mom, I'd really still like you to make me that cheesecake. And I was like, honey, I promise I will make you this cheesecake, but I can't do it yet.
Yeah.
Because to me, the cheesecake is just too associated.
Yeah,
it's like the food you eat right before you get sick, you can never eat it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what is very serious about this story is that there are currently roundabouts 30 children nationally who have died from this flu.
Yeah.
Our caller Sue to 312-981 earlier 7200 in the previous segment was saying that she works in healthcare and they are hearing of 10-hour waits in the ER. So now you ask yourself, what am I looking for? What symptoms? Because you're hearing about these terrible waits, and so your kid gets sick, and you think, I probably don't need to take him. He's healthy.
Yeah, so, but the thing is, though, can you maybe re-explain the respiratory part of it? I was always confused with that. And like we were saying earlier, you always get the flu associated with like a stomach bug or stomach virus.
Right. And that's, I think around here, that's just what we call it. Oh, I had the flu, vomiting, diarrhea, whatever. Yeah. Actual influenza, and there's multiple strains going around this year, but several years ago, people remember H1N1. They're all kind of these different technical strains. According to the CDC, this year there are four primary strains. However, what they're looking for a full-on influenza, like influenza A, influenza B, it's going to be a respiratory illness. And that's part of why this can turn so deadly.
Is that different from years past, though, than what they look for? Or it's always been a respiratory thing?
It's always been respiratory.
Oh, okay.
So there's high fever, chills, coughing. It's so bad. I had it last year. And it was, no one else in my family caught it, but it was, I mean, from start to finish was about 2 weeks of me feeling miserable. I would rally and get up and get the kids to school. And, you know, they were in charge of making their own breakfast because I couldn't touch anything. I would drive them to school. I would come home and then I would set my alarm clock for 2:30 and I would sleep from like 8:30 to 2:30 straight 6 hours. And then I would go and pick them up. Those were my days. So the problem is why people are getting so deadly ill from this is because of the secondary infections that they're also
getting on top of that.
Yes, being attacked by, which of course, being exposed to the hospital isn't helping, but you do need to be in the hospital if you're this ill.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of times before people seek help, it's already turned into pneumonia. It gets settled into their lungs. The especially severe H3N2 virus, which is one of the strains currently, is likely responsible for the 20 pediatric deaths. Now they're saying 30. I have two different articles that I'm referring to that have been reported in connection to the flu. But the young, healthy adults that are also dying that we're hearing about are saying that it's bacterial infections such as pneumonia, and they're not able to get ahead of it. And so it's taking people's lives very, very quickly. Flu, while causing mild disease in a lot of people, can also cause severe disease and death in others, specifically, primarily, the very, very young and the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And those are two always at-risk groups. One, they don't necessarily have the reserves. And they might be, you know, especially the elderly might be taking different medications that prevent them from getting flu shots.
Yeah, I know.
And they're more susceptible to pneumonia anyway.
Yeah, I know on a personal note, when my grandpa passed away a few years ago, he was staying in a rehab home for a few weeks and he caught a virus there. And he was just getting over stage 4 lung cancer. He was battling that for about 4 or 5 years at that point. And it's once somebody catches it, you know, who's susceptible to it, it's I hate to say it, it's almost immediate and it's very scary. And it's really heartbreaking for the family too. So you gotta be careful with all this stuff.
Yes.
Hand sanitizer all over the place.
Yeah. So here are the symptoms we want you guys to watch for. Symptoms include fever, chills, cough, sore throat, runny nose, muscle or body aches, headache, and fatigue. Any of those, and especially like a cocktail of any of those, could be influenza. I actually went in when I had laryngitis, which I can't remember if I worked with you at some point during that.
Yeah, I think we talked about that.
The night that you and I worked together.
Yeah, the day after Christmas.
Yes. So I had laryngitis. I ended up at urgent care because I couldn't talk. And immediately I coughed like once because of postnasal drip. There's a lot of information about my health right now. And they immediately handed me a mask. And they were like, no, 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 I need to mask you. And then 10 minutes with the doctor, they're like, you're fine. You don't need to wear the mask. It's not flu. But if you're sick, please, please stay home. If you fear that you have the flu, if you are not improving quickly, please get thy to urgent care, hospital, et cetera.
Take care of yourself, basically.
Well, and also try to prevent from others. But man, bleach wipes are my best friend.
Well, and it was spreading around here in the office. I know a few other coworkers of ours were getting it too. So just be careful with all that. Use hand sanitizer, wipes, whatever you have to do. If you have to wrap yourself in a hazmat suit for a few weeks, you can do that too.
I have to fly in a couple of days, and I'm like, maybe I should wear a mask. I wore a mask when I drove my dad to the hospital.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
I'm not playing. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.